All I can do right now is put on a brave face and go out there and be their leader.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to the top stories that we have for you this hour. By the way, this reminder, Operation Dow continues here on The Dory Monson Show. Last Sunday, one of our listeners saw King County Executive Dow Constein drinking in a bar with an unknown female and took pictures of it, sent it in to us. Our sources that allowed us to break the story of Dow Constein abusing taxpayers' dollars and sheriff's deputies' time by using them as his personal Uber for his executive protection detail to take him out drinking many, if not most, nights. If you do see Dow Constein out drinking, snap a photo and send it along to us, and we will continue to chronicle the exploits of the King County executive who continues to refuse. Our reporter, Carolyn Osorio, who helped us break that story, he still refuses to talk. And is the sheriff going to come on with us here, Nicole? She promised me.
I'm confident.
She promised me.
Yep, I'm working on it.
She said, anytime we call, she'll pick up the phone. Anytime.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't been given her number yet. That's the problem.
About a month? Yeah, I know.
I haven't been given the number.
I'm starting to feel like I was lied to.
She should pick up when I get the number.
I'm starting to feel like I was lied to. It's not a good thing when I'm lied to. But we'll see. See if we can get her on. And then also one other story before we get to all the local stuff here. Yesterday, Eric Trump, the president's 35-year-old son, he was at a kind of high-end cocktail lounge in Chicago. One of the female workers there, she was loudly heard complaining about his dad to other people, but she was just doing it to be heard. And then she spit in Eric Trump's face. Spit in his face. And the Secret Service, that, of course, accompanies the president's kids, they immediately arrested her, but Eric Trump said he didn't want to press charges. But, you know, when I heard about that, I was thinking, you know, of all the reasons, and I don't know who the Democrats are going to nominate, but even though I didn't vote for Trump in 16 because I thought I have no idea what kind of president he's going to be. And I think he's turned out to be a really good president when it comes to the economy and national security, the two most important issues to me. And I think he's been really good. But I was thinking beyond that, the to me, the most important reason, the best reason why I hope he's reelected is so that women like that worker in the cocktail lounge, so they will be tortured for another 4 years. I mean, they have built up so much bile and evil inside of them, and they have conjured up this guy to be such a monster that they're willing to spit in the face of his son. And if he's reelected, people like that are going to just be tortured souls for another 4 years. And somehow that idea amuses me. And with that as mere prelude, let's get to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
I got an email from a listener. You know, we've talked a lot about the King County Libraries, their drag queen story time, and then last weekend they were passing out chest binders via a raffle to tweens and teens. So one of the most consequential decisions a human being can make to change their gender, librarians are treating it like some kind of funny raffle giveaway. And we've talked with experts, and we've shared with you the New York Times story that talked about the emotional and physical damages of these devices that compress the breast chest tissue of developing little girls. And without a psychiatrist, without a doctor, without the parents, the King County Library is giving away these devices. That is not the role of government. Government should not be doing that. I got this email from listener Concerned Mom. And she so wonderfully put into words. She was talking about the drag queen story time. And as I've said a million times, if adults want to be drag queens, if they want to go to drag shows, I couldn't care less. It's none of my business. But government trying to encourage children into that world, because I know people who go to drag shows, believe it or not. And, you know, everyone acknowledges that it is a world where drug use is rampant. And once you get beyond the sparkly story time readings, when they're telling the kids, go to my Instagram page. The Instagram pages are, they're not child appropriate. They're not child friendly. And so let me just read to you. But, and again, my issue is government should not be steering kids into that world. If kids go there through private organizations, through their own choices, that's fine. That's not the role of the government. And I just thought it was captured so wonderfully by this email from Concerned Mom. Dear Dory, thank you for the attention you've given to Drag Queen Story Hours, an event held at local libraries. I have several concerns with these events, and it is not about homosexuality or gender identity. It is simply about the appropriateness of using drag queens to read stories to and interact with children, and whether or not the public library should be facilitating these encounters. And then they talked about how Martha McCallum on Fox News featured the King County drag queen thing a couple of nights ago. Drag queens are a part of the bar scene. At its heart, drag is about raunch, hypersexuality, lewd humor, all of which is fine in the proper setting and to the proper audience. Regardless of how they appear for certain events, the bulk of their craft is spent doing more adult shows and performances. During the age of social media, and given its relevance in the lives of youth, it is irresponsible for adults not to expect kids who come into contact with queens at the library to then spend some time looking them up in the worlds of Facebook and Instagram and to learn more about them. What they are faced with is a version of the queen that is very different than the image presented to them, and the library is helping to set up these false images. When the queens themselves entice the children to follow their social media, this exposure to images and subjects far beyond their maturity levels is nearly inevitable. There was recently a teen event held at the Renton Library for teens by teens, at which several drag queens performed. After toned down but still questionable performances, when prompted, each queen directed their children of minors to follow them on Instagram. That moment was an opportunity for these adult male drag queens to tell the children that what they do outside of the library is not appropriate for their eyes. Instead, they directed them to their Instagram profiles, where these children will be accosted by nearly pornographic images. This is the reality of drag in the life of a drag queen. Grown men in various stages of undress, posing seductively and executing highly provocative and sexual routines. This is not okay for children. In any other context or situation, this would be considered predatory. But for some reason, drag gets a pass. And it should not be that way. By bringing drag queens into the libraries, the King County Library System is responsible for putting minors in direct contact with these images and scenarios. And as adults, we have to do a better job at filtering what is and is not appropriate for children. The sad reality of our world is that there are pedophiles out there who love to find organizations and communities like the church or scouting or drag in which they can hide behind a facade they create while they slowly groom their victims into being more comfortable with sex and exposure. Drag is the only community where they're allowed to openly practice the art of grooming. We're eroding our children's natural defenses when we expose them to adult nakedness, lewdness, and overt sexuality. We're deadening their warning signals. and we need to join together to protect our kids at any cost. Drag queens should be on board with this. Anyone who has no intention to pervert the minds of children should be on board with this. The King County Library System should have no part in facilitating the exposure of minors to a world which they are not prepared or mature enough to handle. And then concerned moms sent me links to the Instagram accounts of all of these performers, and what she says is absolutely right. It is not appropriate for children. And they told the kids, go follow us on Instagram. Again, for adults, by adults, for adults, no problem whatsoever. For the government to be facilitating, to be the portal for children into that world, where, again, you know, the people I know who go to the shows, you know, acknowledge that drugs are rampant in that community. And it's just not the government's role. And the fact that the King County Library System is being part of this predatory grooming is sickening. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Your tax dollars at work.
And that's the King County Library System. The Seattle Library System, they want more of your money. They want to almost double the current amount that you're paying to the libraries via a levy. And I told you about this when it was first proposed a couple of months ago. One of the reasons they need $100 million more is they want to forgive library fines. If somebody doesn't return a book, we just won't make them pay the fine. Because right now, if you have outstanding fines, you can't use the library. Which makes sense, because you're not returning the stuff you don't own. And, of course, Jenny Durkin, that was a big point of applause for her.
We will be eliminating all of the overdue library fines.
Yeah.
Yay. Sounded like a goat there. Yay. So we can't hold people responsible for the fine that they've agreed to pay if they don't return a book. And for Deborah Juarez, oh, the city councilwoman.
I also want to say and thank the mayor for waiving the late fees, so I will be first in line for amnesty.
Oh, good. Yeah, you can't be bothered to return stuff on time. You're an important city councilwoman. Why in the world should you have to return something on time? Why should we have responsibility in our society? So the Seattle Times today came out with their endorsement, and of course they're encouraging everyone to vote yes on the near doubling of the gigantic amount you're already paying to the Seattle libraries, in part so they can eliminate fines for the most irresponsible people who go to the library. Of course the Times said vote yes. It's a tax. All taxes are great in the mind of the Seattle Times. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top trending.
Jay Inslee getting ready for the first Democrat debate tonight. He'll be one of 10 on stage. King 5 sent a reporter down there to Miami, and they asked Jay Inslee if he has a strategy for tonight's debate.
What's your strategy going in with competing for time with nine other people on the stage?
Well, we're unique. I'm a unique candidate. I'm the only candidate with experience bringing 100% clean energy to our state, building a $6 billion wind.
Now, does this answer have anything to do with the question? What is your strategy for tonight? That's the question. What is your strategy? And Jay Inslee, speaking of robots, man.
What's your strategy going in with competing for time with nine other people on the stage?
Well, we're unique. I'm a unique candidate. I'm the only candidate with experience bringing 100% clean energy to our state.
What's your strategy? Well, we're unique. I'm a unique candidate. That's your strategy. Okay. Who are you excited to debate, Jay?
I know you've been going after people on their own climate policies, their own climate ideas. Is there one particular candidate who will be on that stage tomorrow that you're excited about sharing your ideas with?
Well, listen, my proposals are unique compared to the whole rest of the field. To me, there's a first horse that's the fastest, and the strongest and the most committed. And then there's a lot of horses tied for second place. That's the way I look at this.
I think Jay Inslee's a horse's... Oh, never mind. Again, had absolutely zero... The answer had zero connection to the question. Who are you excited to debate? Wow. And then he also... Cairo 7 had this. Jay Inslee had a message for the Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence.
If he was here, I'd say, Mike, you need to wake up and smell the carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide pollution is not only the highest in American history, it's the highest in our time on Earth. And it is maddening to me, and we ought to be angry about this.
How does he know it's the highest? What about the when we had volcanoes that were erupting everywhere on Earth, when we had rings of fire? And then Brandy Cruz sent this, one of the Fox affiliates in Michigan, which is a swing state. They were holding up pictures of various Democrat candidates. And let's see what their reaction was to Jay Inslee back there in Michigan.
Do you know who this candidate is?
No.
Okay. Any guess?
No.
Do you know who this candidate is?
Oh, no.
Any guess?
He's probably a governor up somewhere. I don't know.
No, that's fine. Do you know who this candidate is?
Absolutely not. No. I'll be honest.
No. Could you guess?
I don't know.
Okay. So his name is Jay Inslee. He's the governor of Washington.
Okay.
He's running for president. Do you know who this candidate is?
I don't.
Any idea? Okay.
Literally no idea. This is so bad.
No, you're fine. No one has known it so far. So his name's Jay Inslee. He's the governor of Washington.
Okay.
Well, this campaign's a runaway horse. Man, he is just catching fire with the people. Okay, that's all I got time for here. I got so much other stuff I'd love to get to. But that is your Big Lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news, and then a spectacular array of our awesome audio clips of the day coming up next. I agree with what the president said. I talked about this a couple of hours ago, 12:30 this afternoon, if you go check out our podcast, that it's called an attractive nuisance. That's what the United States is. And just as a homeowner has to fence off their backyard pool, we got to fence off our country because people are trying to sneak in. It's not the fault of the father, but there is growing. Let me just play for you again. Here's what Trump said about that picture of the father and daughter that has just dominated CNN, MSNBC, front page of the New York Times.
That father, who probably was this wonderful guy with his daughter, things like that wouldn't happen. Because that journey across that river is a very dangerous journey. If they fixed the laws, you wouldn't have that. People are coming up. They're running through the Rio Grande. It can be a very rough river of sorts. I mean, there are times when going across the Rio Grande is very, very dangerous, depending on the time of year and the conditions and the rapidity of the water.
He's absolutely right about that. And then there's growing doubt about that photo, too, because if you saw a child and a dad, and the way the photo is, you know, if you've seen it, the dad's shirt is kind of over the daughter and her arm is coming out. If you saw a child and an adult male lying face down in a river, wouldn't your first reaction be to run down and flip them over out of the water and try to start performing CPR? Would your first reaction be, I'm going to take out a camera and take a photo of that? You would just leave them face down in the water and not try to do anything? And so there is a lot of growing skepticism about whether that photo was in some ways staged. And then a great text message from a listener. When Jay Inslee, we played this last segment about his message to Vice President Pence.
If he was here, I'd say, Mike, you need to wake up and smell the carbon dioxide.
Wake up and smell the carbon dioxide. As a listener pointed out to us, carbon dioxide is a colorless, odorless, and tasteless gas. It has no smell whatsoever. Oh, Jay, you're trying so hard. Let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
In Alabama car dealership, they have a great 4th of July sales event. If you buy a new car, they will give you a Bible, a United States flag, and a shotgun.
Number 3.
We're going to be celebrating July 4th a little bit differently this year. Everyone that comes into our dealership and purchases a new pre-owned or certified pre-owned car, truck, or SUV, they're also going to get a Bible, an American flag, and also a 12-gauge shotgun.
It's tough to sell here, obviously, in Chatham, Alabama. We're not in a big market, and this has given us a platform to reach a lot more people and sell a lot more cars. So, yes, this has really given us the opportunity to talk to customers we previously couldn't reach.
There you go. At number 2, the King County Sheriff's Office is investigating a bearing man who reportedly tripped and was accidentally shot by his own rifle while chasing a black bear off his uncle's property.
Number 2.
Just walking through the driveway, and I hear this twig break. I turn, and I saw the bear, 800 to 1,000-pound black bear. The weapon that I was carrying fell to the ground, and it went off. Came in through the back of my leg, through the top of my leg, and straight up. The worst pain imaginable. I didn't chase the bear. The bear chased me. Who in their right mind chases a black bear? This is the most active bear season that I've ever seen. I see the bear's face when I go to bed.
And at number 1, let's take you to Pennsylvania, the Keystone State, where a great grandma had to take some matters into her own hands with a snake.
Number 1.
And they were... It's very raucous.
Kathy Kehoe says the frantic squawks of blue jays in her garden tipped her off that something was wrong.
And I will say a bad word, it's COVID. I knew right away.
The gutsy great-grandma approached and snapped these photos of the 4 to 5 foot venomous snake slithering along her patio at the Aspen Falls Apartments.
I can't have a poisonous snake. There's little kids here.
So she took matters into her own hands.
He got over to here. I tapped his tail, and he went up, and that's when I did the deed.
I thought they were all gone, like, because I'm frightened of snakes.
It's incredibly scary to me that cobras are running loose on the property.
You get hit by a medical cobra, you got 2 or 3 hours to get to a hospital and get any venom. Best thing to do in a situation like that, step back, watch where it goes, don't try to catch it, don't try to kill it, call animal control.
Nonetheless, this no-nonsense Nana has earned the respect of her neighbors.
Great job, Kathy. Awesome.
She's a bad I don't know if you can say it on TV, but she is a bear.
Way to go, Nana. Our favorite sound bites of the day brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. Today's sign next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And we still have lots more to do as we present today's edition of...
Today's sign that the end is near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. Let's start in Sacramento. A couple of nights ago, there was a domestic violence call to 911. A woman in serious trouble with a violent man. Police officers responded to help out this woman. And as they arrived, they were ambushed. 26-year-old police officer Tara O'Sullivan was murdered by the ambush shooter. Police took 45-year-old Adele Zambrano Ramos into custody for the murder of Officer O'Sullivan. The last couple of days, the cops have been there at the crime scene, and there has been a growing crowd of people from the neighborhood who just hate cops. And let me give you an example. This is the kind of nonsense our cops have to listen to and deal with, as the first woman you're going to hear is celebrating that a cop had been murdered as she's talking to the dead officer's fellow cops.
Hey. Officer getting shot. Need to be. Y'all all need to be. Y'all all need to be.
Y'all all need to be shot. That's the kind of contempt they have for officers.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome, you little punk. You're welcome, you little bastard. You're welcome, bastard. You little coward. Take that gun off. I'll whoop your little butt. Come on back. Take it off. Where you been at? Coward?
It's all good.
You little coward? All y'all cowards.
We know they
y'all are. Y'all cowards.
We know they are.
All of you cowards.
We know they
we
are.
We got guns, too. Cowards.
We got guns, too. That is the kind of crap our cops have to deal with, as they are grieving over the loss of one of their own, and then they have people not only celebrating the death of that officer, but taunting the cops who are there to protect the neighborhood. They were there because, in the first place, because a woman was in a violent situation, and they came to rescue her, and one of them dies, and the rest are subjected to that kind of nonsense. But that's just mental illness, what you're hearing right there. And it's a shame. It's an absolute shame, because the vast majority of our police officers are good, noble people, and they shouldn't have to put up with that sort of thing. Today's science story number two, closer to home. Remember Scott Kubley, the former Seattle Department of Transportation director? And I told you consistently, almost from the very start of Scott Kubley's reign of terror, where he put in so many policies that helped permanently gridlock the city and the region for the most insidious of reasons. He had been completely bought off by the bicycle lobby. But I told you that I had somebody I really knew and trusted who was in a meeting with Scott Kubley in his first few months on the job. And there's somebody who really knows the transportation industry. And my source told me, Dory, I have never seen and heard a more incompetent manager than Scott Kubley. So I tucked that away. And then I had Scott Kubley on the show twice. And I was embarrassed for him in how, frankly, how I shredded him on the air. And he tried taking this snarky tone, but he had nothing to back it up. And the guy was just completely over his head. But he ripped off the taxpayers for millions of dollars with that Prono bike scam. And as we predicted on the show, while he was still in the job, he got rewarded for it. About a year ago, Scott Kubley was hired by Lime Bikes as their chief program officer. But guess what? Lime Bikes figured out this guy must not know what he's doing, because the word came down yesterday that Scott Kubley is moving on from Lime. And it doesn't sound like it was his choice. He said in a statement, "The year at Lime was an amazing experience and quite the introduction to the startup world. I am still exploring what opportunities are out there. I'm excited to move on to the next challenge and wish the team at Lime the best of luck." He must interview well, because how he got the Seattle DOT job, I'll never know. I mean, that was the accused child rapist, Ed Murray's decision. Ed Murray, not the greatest decision maker in a lot of areas of life. But then Lime hired him because, I'm sure it was a reward, because Scott Kubley, after Pronto ripped off the taxpayers for $6 million and he got his ethics violation and a slap on the wrist. But then Lime Bikes, they got their entree into Seattle, and I'm sure they owed him. So they gave him, no doubt, a six-figure job as chief program officer. But then they must have figured out what I figured out years ago. And that is that the man's just flat out incompetent. So Scott Kubley is moving on from Lime Bikes, pedaling off into the sunset. And finally, in today's sign, a few weeks ago, One of the networks was doing a Rocky marathon. I have to watch. I've seen the original Rocky must be 10 times. I'm sure I've seen Rocky 2 five or six times. Rocky 3 the same, five or six. Rocky 4, I'm sure I've seen that five or six times. But the evolution of Rocky Balboa, he was such a dumb guy in Rocky 1, pretty dumb in Rocky 2. Then he became really smart. The more punches he took to the head, the smarter he seemed to get. And then he regressed again in Rocky 5. Lost all his money. Sylvester Stallone has ticked off his fans because he is now charging them to take a selfie with him. He had a black tie dinner in England, an evening with Sylvester Stallone. It's coming up in August and September. He will be interviewed live on stage, three-course dinner, auction selling signed memorabilia. If you want the premium photo experience, which allows you to take a selfie with Sly, that's going to cost you $1,081. So it's $160 to attend, but $1,081 to take a selfie with him. So that means the selfie, he's charging about $900. Come on, would Rocky have done that on the streets of Philly? To all the fans who ran up to wish him well against Apollo Creed? I think Sly has lost his way. And all of that is today's sign. The end is near. I gotta get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for today. But I'll go home and I'll think up a bunch of great stuff for Thursday's show. Kenny, Mike, and Todd are coming up next, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Head up.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news. It's over. We are screwed. This is the worst.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.